Summary of the two ICID reports that were distributed to you, I believe, last week. I'm not sure that you do have the copies of that presentation with you. I'm going to focus on the, firstly, on the fourth quarter of the ICID quarterly report for the 2012-2013 financial year. And then I'll also look at the first quarter of the 2013-2014 financial year. I'm not sure that you do have the copies with you.
Yes. You were two copies, both dated the same.
Presentation one.
Come again?
The presentation, not those ones. Those are the presentation that was... I think that one.
This one?
No. It was
this one?
No,
this one. And then in terms of program allocation, program one, which is administration, received 92.8 million. And I should note that that was in contrast to the 73.4 million adjusted appropriation the program received for 2011-2012 financial year. And program two was 98.7 million. And this was also in contrast to 78.4 million program received during the 2011-2012 financial year. And then if you look at program three, which is legal services, it received 5.3 million. And that was in contrast to 1.6 million adjusted appropriation for 2011-2012. And then in terms of spending in the two first quarters of 2012-2013 financial year, it is important to note that during the first quarter of 2012-2013, IPID spent only 17% of its allocated budget. And that was really far below the 25% benchmark stipulated by the National Treasury. You will also notice that there is a pattern of low first quarter spending It continued as in previous years, where, for example, 19% was spent in the first quarter of the 2011-2012 financial year, and 17% in the first quarter of 2010-2011 financial year. By the end of second quarter, which is 30 September 2012, IPID had only spent 38.2% of this main appropriation. And then if you continue to slide 3 in your presentation, the main appropriation of 196 was increased by 97,000 during October adjustment period. In other words, the adjusted appropriation does increase to 197. What is important to note is that the additional 97,000 was allocated for higher remuneration increases than was provided for in the main budget and was distributed for compensation of employees across the three programs. Honorable members, you should note that the portfolio committee on police was told by IPID just before the adjustments were made that their budget for 2012-2013 financial year was misaligned and that they had too much money in goods and services and too few funds in compensation. The committee has supported this proposed adjustment with the understanding that IPID will fill vacant and funded posts. And then an amount of 6.6 million was moved from goods and services in program one to compensation of employees in program two. Furthermore, an amount of 634,000 was shifted from goods and services in program two to compensation of employees in program two. In essence, therefore, the vermin made during the adjusted period resulted in higher allocations for program two, which is investigations, and lower allocations for program one, which is administration. The higher allocation program two resided in the compensation of employees line item and were to be used to fund vacant posts in this critical core business of the directorate. And then if we proceed to slide number four, spelling in the third quarter of 2013 financial year. By the end of the third quarter, IPID had only managed to spend 60.1% of its adjusted appropriation and was thus behind in planned spending by 28.3 million. If you look at all the programs, all programs reflected underspending by December 2012 as follows. Program 1, which is administration, had spent 65%. And program two, which is investigation and information management, has spent 57.1%. And program three, which is legal services, has spent 39.8%. Despite the environment that had been approved during the adjusted period, which included the removal of 6.6 million from goods and services, spending in goods and services was still very low, at only 54.4%. And compensation of employees spending was better, but still low, at 56.6%. So therefore, spending on payments for capital assets was exceptionally low, at 4.4%. It should then be noted as a concern that by end of December 2012, only 299 of 344 posts were filled, which resulted in an overall vacancy rate of 13.1%. National Treasury has noted that the slow filling of critical post vacancies, especially of investigators, remains a setback on effective service delivery and should be addressed as a matter of agency. And then if you go to slide number five, the first quarter spending for 2012-13 financial year ending 13 March, you will see that the IPID only spent 86.6% of its allocated budget by the end of the fourth quarter. Expenditure of 171.4 million of its adjusted appropriation of 197.9 resulted in under expenditure of 26.5 million. And you recall that this is really in contrast to the total expenditure for 2011-2012 of 100%. If you look at the table below, it reflects the year-to-year expenditure of the IPID as at the end of the fourth quarter, but I won't go into detail on that given the time constraint. If you go to slide 6, in terms of the table, which is clear that all programs are spent by year end. Program 1 in particular, which is administration, spent 93.5% for the year end. It should be noted that it would have underspent even more if 6.8 million had not been shifted from program 1 to program 2 during the adjusted period. And then if you look at program 2, which is investigation and information management, the program spent 82.5% of its annual budget. And it should be remembered by honorable members that a total of over 6.8 million was shifted to this program from program 1, which is administration, during the adjusted period, with understanding that vacant posts, as I alluded before, including that of investigators, were to be filled. And then program 3, which is legal services, spent only 55.9% of its annual budget. And then I go to slide 7, the important highlights of the fourth quarter. What one gets when looking at the quarterly report is that despite the 27% spending in the fourth quarter, as highlighted above, IPIG could only manage to spend 86.6% of its adjusted allocation for the 2012-2013 financial year. IPID had only managed to spend 6.1% of its budget by the end of the third quarter in that financial year. And then, in order to achieve 100% spending for 2012-2013, IPID ideally would have needed to have spent almost 40% of its budget during the fourth quarter. This was clearly unable to do. However, during the fourth quarter, the department managed to spend 52.4 million of their annual adjusted appropriation, which equated to 27% expenditure for that quarter. If you look at program by sub-program, you will notice that very low spending occurred in goods and services by the end of the fourth quarter of 2012-2013 financial year. And this is despite an amount of over 7.2 million that had been shifted out of goods and services during the adjusted period in October. And again, it should be noted that IPID had informed the portfolio committee on police that their goods and service budget was too large, and that in addition to a number of cost savings, they were going to be made in this area in the coming financial year. As at the end of March 2018, out of a total of 347 posts, only 302 posts were filled, thus reflecting a 45 vacancy rate, which equated to 13% vacancy rate. What is important to also highlight from the fourth quarter of the IPIG budget report is that there was misalignment of the 2012-2013 budget allocation. In other words, too much funds for goods and services. There were too much funds for goods and services and too funds for compensation of employees. What is also discernible is that there were very low spending occurred in both the first and the second quarter. However, despite over 7.4 million investment during the adjusted period from goods and services were still underspent by the end of the fourth quarter by 16 million. And that this underspending is really an issue of serious concern. Of even more concern is that over 9 million rand was not spent by the end of the fourth quarter for compensation of employees, pointing to a clear problem with filling of vacant posts by the IPID. The question then is why were funds shifted if they could not be spent? Why funds were shifted from goods and services to other programs if those funds could not be spent? The IPIG and the portfolio committee need to seriously look at the reported spending levels at the start of 2013-2014 financial year. And the committee needs to really closely monitor monthly expenditure performance to ensure spending according to plans and targets. The portfolio committee should remain mindful that there is a high probability that the under or overspending recorded in the first quarter may persist throughout the year. So the committee really needs to monitor that and lead to over underspendings in the last part of 2013 financial year. And then we can go to the first quarter of the 2013-2014 financial year in slide number 8. If you look in terms of budget allocation there, we'll see that a total of 216.9 million was allocated to the directorate during this current financial year. And there's a possibility that that might grow, you know, to 232 million in 2014-2015 financial year. And as shown by the figures below those diagrams, the pitch they are not in color, mm-hmm. so you cannot be able to see clearly. As shown by those figures, the IPT's largest program is investigation and information management, which is the core business of the directorate, which constitutes 57% of the department's total budget. And then in terms of economic classification, the bulk of the 2013-2014 budget was allocated to compensation of employees, which constitutes 61% of the total budget. It should be noted at the outset that this is in line with the submission by IPRD to the committee in October 2012. And with reference to the 2012-2013 budget, there have been historically been serious misalignment in the budget allocation to IPRD. This was manifestly primarily in a too low allocation for compensation of employees and too high allocation to goods and services. And this has been addressed in the 2013-2014 budget allocation. Of the 216 million, 132 million was allocated to compensation of employees and 81.7 million to goods and services. So you can see that they tried to sort of address that misalignment in the budget allocation. In terms of program structure, 8.4 million was allocated to program one, which is administration. 124 was allocated to program two, and then 4.2 was allocated to program three, which is legal services. And then if you go to slide number nine, in terms of expenditure in the first quarter of this current financial period, the IPID has spent 41.5 million, and that comes to only 19.1% of its allocated budget by the end of the first quarter of this current financial period. This was 5.9% lower than planned. In other words, but the 2.3% higher than spending at the end of June 2012-2013. So when you compare it to the first quarter of the last financial year, you'll see that it is 2.3% higher than spending as compared to the previous first quarter. More importantly, even though the spending during this quarter was higher than spending in the same period during the previous financial year, it was well below the approved benchmark set by Treasury of 25%. So you will see that this recurrent theme of underspending or overspending in the IPIG budget. As highlighted in that table, lower than planned spending was visible in most notable in program two, which is investigation, which is the core business program of the IPID. Program two only managed to spend 17% of its 2013-2014 budget allocation during the first quarter. And program one, which is administration, only spent 21.9%. And that is still against the 25% benchmark by the National Treasury. Slightly higher than planned spending occurred in program three, legal services, which spent 25.5%. So it was higher by, 5% only. And then if you look at an economic classification level, you will see that lower than planned spending occurred on goods and services, which spent 5.9% lower than planned. And then payments for capital assets spent 7.6% lower than planned. And then machinery also spent 36.4%. However, higher than planned spending occurred on transfers and subsidies, which spent 10,000 against projected drawings of 3,000. And then if we continue to slide 10, which is spending per program, focus on the three programs. Administration, if you look at administration program one, the spending on program one at the end of June this year was 19.3 million or 21.9%, which is still below the 25% by the Treasury, of the 88.4 million appropriated for this program for the year as a whole. And then in terms of economic classification, considerably higher than planned expenditure occurred on machinery and equipment, and lower than planned expenditure occurred on compensation of employees and goods and services. And then if you take a look at program two, which is investigation and information management, spending in this program at the end of June this year was 21 million or 17%, again lower than the 25% expenditure benchmark by the Treasury. In terms of economic classification, lower than planned spending occurred on compensation of employees, goods and services and machinery, and then higher than planned spending occurred on transfers and subsidies. Honorable members should kindly note that the spending on this program fell below the projected target of 28%, and only 17% was spent, which is a serious concern. And then if you look at program three, which is legal services, spending on program three at the end of June 2013 was 1.8 million, or 28.5%. Much higher than planned expenditure occurred on this program, against a projected spending of 4.9%. So this program is the only program, program number three, is the only program that overspends a margin of 5% or so, because we're supposed to spend, the projected expenditure was 24.9%, but it spends 25.5%, so it was a marginal expenditure there. And then if you go to slide 11, the important highlights of the first quarter for 2013-2014. In June, at the end of the first quarter of this current financial period, IPID had spent 41.5 million. Which equated to 19.1% of its allocated budget. And 19.1% of its allocated budget is still far below the 25% by the Treasury. This is 5.9% lower than planned and 2.3% higher than spending at the end of June 2012-2013. So if you compare this quarter and this current financial year and the last quarter, you will see that in this quarter there was higher expenditure in the first quarter of 2013-2014 as compared to the same quarter in the 2012-2013 financial year. And then lower than planned spending is visible in all programs, but it is most notable in investigation and information management. The question then is why there is notable underspending under investigation information management, whereas that program sort of reflects the core business of the directorate. This is a key concern as this program contains the core business of IPIG. And then if you look at economic classification, in terms of economic classification, lower than planned expenditure occurred on compensation of employees and goods and services, while higher than planned expenditure occurred on machinery and equipment. Why spend much money on machinery and equipment and not on the people that are supposed to do the job? A key concern then is whether the budget remains incorrectly planned and misaligned. Lower first quarter spending may be a result of goods and services budget still being too high. In addition, slow filing of vacant posts will result in underspending by the end of the financial year if these posts are not filled timeously. So the committee needs to monitor that those vacancies need to be filled. A key concern, in terms of cash flow management, the department is sort of deviated from its approved drawings. The largest deviation is visible in April 2018, where the department spent 7.4 million, less than what it had projected. And then at the end of May 2013, 301 of the 347 posts were filled, resulting in a vacancy rate of 10.3%. And I think that vacancy rate really is still not acceptable. They need to work more in order to make sure that it is acceptable. The vacancies are mainly visible in senior management positions and for crime investigators. This high vacancy rate remains a concern to the National Treasury and requires the IPRD's urgent attention. The expenditure recorded at the end of the first quarter of the 2013-2014 financial year strongly resembles that of the previous financial year, with almost similar spending trends. Therefore, the committee should remain mindful that there is a high probability that the under or over expenditure recorded in the first quarter may persist throughout the year and may lead to over or under expenditure in the last quarter of the 2012-2014 financial year. Thanks a lot.
Any clarification questions?
Madam Chair, thank you very much for, and also thank you very much for this report. Just one question, I don't know the research, I don't know. If you look at this, it's glaring here that the IPD is not working according to Treasury regulations. My question is, do you have any information what is the response of Treasury to this called some deviation where they are not spending according to requirement? The second one is the special senior staff, is it not affected by the absence of the head, because the head surely would get a big salary. So is the absence of the senior man in that person. The third part is, did you check what is it? Why are they not spending money on investigation, which you said yourself is their caucus, but it doesn't feel like they... Did you check what are the reasons why they are understanding in what should be their core business? Thank you.
Honorable Ntumi. My apology if maybe the researchers did allude to what I'm going to ask the reason. Because on slide 4, slide 8 and 9, where it talks about spending on compensation employees. Did the researchers try and find out why did the directorate ask for more money or for more funds for the compensation of employees? Why they haven't been spending? They have been underspending. For instance, there was an underspending in the third quarter, even on the fourth quarter, but then they asked for more funds. Did the researcher try and find out why? Can you try this a bit faster, because you must call in the acid?
On the first question on whether the Treasury knows about the under-expenditure in the territory, yes, of course, the Treasury knows, and on a number of occasions it has raised, you know, like serious concerns about that. As I've updated before in the presentation, that it even said that it was worried that the under-expenditure in the directories might affect service delivery. So the Treasury is fully aware of the under-expenditure or the lack of compliance with the benchmarks that have been set by the Treasury. But as to what actions the Treasury has sort of come up with, I really am not aware of those. on the question on, I think they are right that perhaps one of the defining factors why there continues to be other spending on investigation on program two is because of the vacancy of senior management, senior management positions that have not been filled. So they affect the overall budget, you know, like expenditure trends of the directorate. The absence of the senior management post that have been filled. On your question, why underspending for the third quarter on the compensation of
they've been understanding, but then they increased the budget for the compensation of employees. Why is increased? Why they are being understanding?
Okay. The explanation that was given was that they were foreseeing that there will be a lot of claims by employees. They were in the last financial year. A lot of staff members were not compensated, for instance, overtime. So they were foreseeing that there will be a lot of claims for this current financial year. That's why they increased, you know, the budget allocation for that program. And they were saying that there were a lot of members who are leaving the directorate, so there will be a lot of claims to the directorate. That's why they increased.
Can I ask that we cut here? Because they're coming in, they must ask most of these questions themselves. I mean, this is just to prompt members. Please, I'm just pleading with members that
okay.
We can let them in. We have limited time. Committee assistant, please. No, nobody here. Okay. Somebody just call them in, please. Bonnie, thank you very much. Can I just ask you to switch off your microphone? Period, which I, if my program was anything to go by, and I know it was hectic for all members. Members, just for your own information, the meeting today is not finished until we've adopted the minutes that you've been alerted about, and that has been for us for a while. So we will end with that, just quickly adopting those minutes. Members have more than enough time to look through the minutes as well. Second thing is next week, Tuesday, we have SAS for the same exercise. Last quarter of the previous financial year, first quarter of this financial year. On the Wednesday, we will be conducting an unannounced oversight visit somewhere here in the Western Cape. And on the Thursday, I have invited the National Commissioner to come. She should be here on Tuesday as well, but I do not want us to plow up the two issues. The one is that we do need to go through the finance spot. That will be done on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, I have invited the National Commissioner to come and present to us the changes and the restructuring that they've announced in the media a week or two back. So it is a committee day, and I presume that members will be here for that engagement as well. So I'm saying this today so that nobody next week on Tuesday can say that we didn't know about Wednesday and we didn't know about Thursday. So that will be the program for next week. I think we are going to start off with you, your presentation. And I hope you have explanations for things, because it's not looking good. It's really not looking good. It's a matter of serious, serious concern. And this committee will also have to apply its mind after the meeting how to go forward around this issue. Ms. Mbeki, over to yourself, introduce your team, and then we can start. You've got, it's 10:15. If you can be done with your presentation by 25 to 20 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable members, good morning. And before I introduce the team, I would like to thank the Portfolio Committee for the opportunity to come and give a presentation on our expenditure for the last quarter of 2011-12. 2012-13 rather, and the first quarter of this month. I will start off by introducing myself. I'm Kuki Mbeki, Chief Director of Legal Services, but currently acting as the Executive Director. On my right is Lindoku Ngongo. She is the Chief Financial Officer. She was Twele previously, Ms. Twele previously. And on my right is Mr. Sipedi, Patrick Sipedi, is the Director of Finance. Next to Mr. Sipedi is Ms. Charlotte Lobe. She is Deputy Director of Parliamentary Liaison, but currently acting as Director of Executive Support. Next to her is Ms. Moniwe Tugela. She has just been transferred to the post of Director of Investigations in the Eastern Cape. She is currently acting as Chief Director of Investigations and Information Management. Next to him is Mr. Tamuli Hulu, Director of Investigations in the Western Cape Provincial Office. Next to Ms. Lihulu is Antoinette Paho. She's Executive Support. Behind me is Mr. Matthew Sisoko, Director of Investigations in the Northwest. He was acting until, I think, last week, Chief Director of Investigations and Information Management. Next to him is Sibongile Palazi, the Director of Human Resource Management. Next to her is Ms. Marianne Fett, Director Provincial Coordination. And next to him is Mr. Moses Lamini, is the National Spokesperson, but he is currently acting as Chief Director of Press Services. Chair, I had wanted to just briefly give a sort of background information so that you understand the presentation by the Chief Financial Officer and the Director of Finance within the context of the work that we had done last year. And I hope I won't be too long. The Commission...
Sorry. I bet it's not the first time that you get here. You know that you've got many minutes to make presentations. So I do not even want to hear, I hope I'm not going to be too long. You manage your time. You make sure that you finish your presentation in time. Continue, please.
Thank you. Thanks, Jackson. The committee will remember that last year we had done some work, some study into our finances or the state of our finances, and we discovered that there were a couple of problems that we needed to address going forward, which then influenced the manner in which we have spent the money. We called that study a budget analysis, and there was a brief presentation that was given previously where we're doing a diagnosis of the problems within finance. And we discovered that there was misalignment of planning and budgeting processes, and we needed to get the process corrected. There was also lack of coordination of these processes, which then led to misalignment of the budget to the needs of the organization or the spending pressures. An example of that was that we had more money within goods and services instead of having it within compensation of employees where we needed it the most. And there were problems of misallocation, misclassification, and we also then, part of the recommendation that we took forward was to then effect cost-cutting measures. So we understand that it is a fact that we did not spend all the money that was allocated to us, and that was a function of the cost-cutting measures as well as the fact that monies were not properly allocated where they were needed the most. On that note, I will then hand over to the CFO just to take us through the actual expenditure.
Thank you, Chairperson. If we can proceed to slide 3 of the presentation. This first slide just gives you an indication of the budget allocations that have been appropriated to the department. In 2012-13, the year we will be analyzing the fourth quarter expenditure, the department received a 28% increase in their budget allocation to fund the implementation of the IPED Act during its first year of operation. And then the 13-14 financial year, which is the current financial year, the department has received an increase of 9.6% in the budget allocations to the department. The next slide just gives you an indication of the 2012-13 financial year now, in terms of the allocation of the budget initially when the E&E was held, and after all in-year adjustments were made, then you'd see the final appropriation. If you look at the top table that shows you the split of the budget per program, initially 50% sat in investigation and information management, followed by administration having 42% of the budget allocation. But after in-year adjustments, you find most of the budget sitting under investigation and information management services, and which was then allocated with 53.5%. The table below shows you the outcome of the in-year adjustments per economic classification. There were movement of funds from goods and services to compensation of employees. There was also funds which were appropriated to transfers and to minimal funding to payments for financial assets. The next slide then just gives an explanation of what caused the movement in the funds, as you've seen in the previous slide. In terms of the first adjustment, which was the material one, there were any adjustments of movement of funds from your goods and services to the compensation of employee budget, and this was in order for the department to fully implement its organizational structure of 349 posts after that by annual budget analysis was performed by the department, and also the additional allocation of funds to the department to accommodate higher personnel remuneration increases than what was initially budgeted for. The department had budgeted 5.8% for increases as advised by Treasury, yet the actual increases that transpired and which were funded through this additional allocation was 7%. There were also funds which were made available for transfers due to unplanned payments of leave discounting and settlements due to employees who resigned from public service during that financial year. There was also funding movements to machinery and equipment to fund anticipated commitments in machinery and equipment, and 7,000 Rand accounted for debt write-offs during that financial year. The next slide then shows you just again an overall picture of the budget, final budget allocations, which we'll now take you through in terms of now measuring expenditure against them. Again, most of the budget appropriation fell to our cooperation program, which is investigation and information management, which was allocated 53.5% of the budget. And again, if you look at economic classification, most of the budget resides under compensation of employees to fund the personnel needed for the first year of implementation, as well as the personnel salary increases for levels 1 to 12. Slide 7 then takes a look at the quarterly spending trends per program, and these are cumulative spending trends. So as at the end of the first quarter, the department should have spent 25%. Actual expenditure was sitting at 17%, with administration spending 17% of the appropriation, investigation spending 16%, and legal services spending 10%. In the second quarter, we should have spent 50% of the budget. The department was sitting at expenditure of 38%, with the highest spending program being administration at 41%. At the end of the third quarter, cumulatively, the department should have spent 75% of the budget allocation. The department was spending 60% of its budget allocation at the end of the third quarter. The highest expenditure there was under administration of 65%, followed by investigation at 57%. And then at the end of the year, cumulatively, the department should have spent 100% of the budget allocation. The department has spent 87%, with the highest expenditure under investigation and information management. The next slide just shows you again, just looking at statistics, the cumulative expenditure for the 12-13 financial year per quarter, but now looking at it per economic classification. Again, there, at the end of the first quarter, the department should have spent 25%. The highest expenditure there was on compensation of employees at 20%, followed by your goods and services at 14%. In the second quarter, the department should have spent 50%. Again, there, the department was spending highest on compensation of employees at 43%, followed by goods and services at 36%, and there was that movement under machinery and equipment. At the end of the third quarter, cumulatively, the department should have spent 60%. The department had spent the highest expenditure at compensation of employees at 66% at the end of this quarter. And then at the end of the fourth quarter, cumulatively, the department should have spent 100%. They spent 67% in overall, with 100% expenditure under transfers and machinery and equipment, followed then by your compensation of employees at 92%. But before we go into the in-depth analysis, just to show you the statistics now, non-cumulatively. So just showing, measuring your quarterly expenditure against the 25% that you are meant to spend in that respective quarter. You can see that again in the first quarter, the department spent 17%, which means we were 8% behind the 25% expenditure target. In the second quarter, we spent 21%, which means we were 4% behind the quarterly expenditure target of 25%. In the third quarter, we spent 22%, and in the fourth quarter, we spent 27% against the target of your 25% expenditure per quarter. The next table then just breaks that down per economic classification. I won't go too much in detail in terms of that slide. But as you can see, as presented in slide 7, there were marked spikes which were experienced during the 12-13 financial year. The main causes of those were compensation of employees' expenditure, where the payout of performance bonuses only occurred in that last quarter. There was also goods and services expenditure, which then was delivered within that last quarter, which saw machinery and equipment less than 5,000 receiving expenditure there. And also under your machinery equipment, you saw your delivery and indexing and payment of your machinery would arrive in that last quarter. We mentioned the abnormal spike due to transfers where there were unplanned leave, dovecounting and settlement payouts to officials who left the public shelves within the department. Slide 12 then looks at it just overall to say the department received an appropriation of 197.9 million and spent 171.4 million of its budget, which was expenditure of 87% for the whole year. The highest expenditure was experienced under investigation and information management, which spent 91.5% of their budget, followed by the administration program and then legal services respectively. And if you look at the overall expenditure per economic classification, the department spent 92% of its budget of under compensation of employees. Under goods and services, expenditure was at 82%. Transfers, there was 100% expenditure there. Machinery and equipment, the expenditure was sitting at 54.5%. And then debts for financial assets were sitting at 100%. In terms of the spending trends per program, program one, which was administration, the actual spending, as I've mentioned, was 81% of the budget allocation of 86.5 million. Which resulted in underspending of 19% or 15.2 million rand. The quarterly expenditure for Program 1 was not consistent. However, the second and third quarter expenditure was close to the target of 25% spending per quarter. In terms of Program 2, investigation information management, the actual spending on the allocated budget of 105.9 million was 92%. Which resulted in underspending of 8% or 8.9 million. the quarterly expenditure revealed gradual improvement in spending against the target over the four quarters. In terms of the business, the actual program spending result was 77%, which translated into 23% under expenditure in this program, but this was also caused due to misallocation of funds for expenditure that went through the program to investigation and information management program. I'll now hand over to Director of Finance, who will then just take you through a deeper analysis of the statistics that I've just provided. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO. Thanks, Jefferson, and the honourable members. In the interest of time, I will go straight to slide 16. Slide 16 is showing the main contributing factors for underspending. As the acting ED has indicated, our underspending of 26.4 million is mainly caused by the two factors, the savings as well as underspending on certain areas. There was an introduction of cost-cutting measures in order to make sure that the department spent on core activities, and that is only it has affected the manner in which the spending was conducted in the previous financial year. Establishment of EMAC satellite offices, not all satellite offices were implemented as proposed and planned, and two of them were budgeted for in this financial year, but they were never implemented due to processes that we have to do in conjunction with public works. The delay in filling of senior managers, as the members have understood when the introduction was done, most of the senior managers, particularly in the provincial offices, are still at 18 level, so that it only affected the manner in which we spend in this financial year. Underspending in items like your IT equipment as well as furniture, more especially for those people who are not appointed, because when the post is created, the budget is also made available for resources, working resources. So most of the resources were not procured due to that. There were measures that were put in place in order to address the challenges. There was a regular monitoring that was immediately implemented in order to ensure that most of the positions are filled, particularly those that are within the control of the accounting officer. The regular monitoring of the procurement plans in conjunction with the National Treasury in order to ensure that all the procurements are done within the reasonable period. The regular engagement and follow-up with the Department of Public Works in order to ensure that all the procurement of buildings are done as planned. And I can also skip this because the CFO has given details in terms of the economic classification, just the breakdown of underspending. And I'll go straight to slide 18. This is the breakdown of compensation of employees. In the 26.4 million underspending, there's an 8.2 million which were not utilized. And the breakdown is given based on the number of employees, the number of personnel that were not served as they were supposed to. And that its own also creates a challenge with regard to depending on compensation from employees. Slide 19, the breakdown of underspending under goods and services, which was the bulk figure of 15.4 million. The main contributing factor there was the leases. Department is currently occupying at National Office the City Forum, and is using the lower rate in terms of the structural rates for payments. And the amount that was budgeted for was based on the City Forum building, and that is own created savings in terms of the amount that we should have paid when we considered the City Forum rates. And the property invoicing, there's a delay also in terms of the billing by public works, but there's an engagement with regard to that to ensure that all the invoices for a particular financial year are done so that the budget can be spent accordingly. Satellite offices, like I said in the previous slide, there were two satellite offices that were meant to be implemented, however they were not due to the challenges that were faced, particularly in conjunction with identification of the offices. Other methods that were not fully implemented due to various reasons were the ID cards that were supposed to have been bought for investigators, flow-centric payments, and furniture and administrative costs in respect of those vacant SMS positions. Slide 20, the breakdown in terms of the machinery and equipment, which was 2.8 million. Obviously, if you cannot appoint, it also affects the sources that you should have procured for those people. and vacancies of provincial heads were affected by that. The delays in procurement and delivery, there were also delays in terms of delivering some of the furniture that were procured, and as a result of that, the rollover application was sent to Treasury in order to ensure that all the invoices that were not paid in the financial year and of orders of from financial year were paid in the current financial year. So those are the factors of the understanding as far as machinery and equipment is concerned. I'll pause there before the 2013-14 budget allocation. Thanks.
Chair, we should we continue? Thank you.
The next half of the presentation then looks at your expenditure for the first quarter of the current financial year. This slide just gives you a brief overview of the budget allocation for the current financial year. We appropriated a budget of 226.9 million, which was a 9.6% increase on the previous financial year. If you look at the allocation for programs, more of the money is sitting under investigation management, which is now sitting at 57.2% of the budget of the department. And if you look per economic classification, the highest appropriation is sitting under compensation of employees, which is 61%, then followed by your goods and services at 37.7%. Slide 22 then shows you your spending for the first quarter of the 2013-14 financial year program. For the first quarter, administration spends 21.9% of their budget. Investigation and information management spends 17% of their budget. And legal services spends 25.5% of the budget, which means that the overall departmental expenditure for the first quarter was sitting at 19.1% against a target of 25% expenditure for the first quarter. The next slide then shows you your spending per economic classification up until the end of June 2013. The highest expenditure was experienced under your machinery and equipment, 36.4%, which was a result of the bidding of all of the machinery and equipment which was delivered late and procured in the previous financial year. You then had 18.8% expenditure under compensation of employees and 19.2% under goods and services, which also then contributes to that overall expenditure of 19.1% at the end of the first quarter. Going deeper into the spending trends, we should have spent 25% by the end of the first quarter. Yes, actual expenditure was sitting at 19.1%. The causes for this under compensation of employees was contributed by the delays in filling various vacancies, including the post of our executive director, which has been vacant on the 1st of September 2012, as well as the chief directors in the provinces, as well as the program manager too, which have not been filled since the 1st April 2012. In terms of goods and services, the contributing factors there were again the lease payments. If you look at the billing of national office, where we are paying the city forum, the structural rate instead of the city forum rate as discussed in the agreement with Treasury, as well as the delays in finalization of the accommodation arrangements for our satellite offices. And then you are seeing an over expenditure or expenditure higher than the target for the first quarter due to the late delivery of machinery and equipment that we were expecting for that last quarter. The next slide is just looking at that first quarter expenditure for the current financial year as compared to the trend in the first quarter in the previous financial year. And as you can see there, at the end of this current quarter, we are sitting at 19.1% expenditure, whereas at the end of the first quarter in the previous financial year, we were sitting at 16.6% expenditure. So there is a slight improvement in terms of the spending trend for the first quarter. If you look at it for program, program one has improved, where they were spending 17.3% in the first quarter last year, and now they are spending 21.9% in the first quarter this year. There's a general improvement in all of the programs, investigation and your services included. For economic classification, there's been an improvement in spending under compensation of employees, which has moved from 17.1% in the former year to 18.9% this year. There's been a slight decrease in your goods and services from 20.2% to 18%.
and also an increase in your spending under machinery and equipment, as I think mentioned earlier. I'll now hand over to the Director of Finance just to take you through the action plans that we've implemented to prevent the reoccurrence of the unwanted spending trend.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll make sure that I talk within. Chairperson, honourable members, the IPIC management as well as the PED were concerned about the performance of the previous financial year. And as a result of that, there were measures that were put in place in order to ensure that the situation does not occur again. Under composition of employees, the regular monitoring and update of action plan on the filling of vacancies to ensure that the vacancy rate is controlled, particularly those that are within the control of the senior appointing officer. Official appointed in acting capacity while recruitment is in process to mitigate effect on the agenda.
Why is your presentation different from the one that was sent to the members? How has it been succeeded?
Hello, can somebody respond, please?
Chairperson, I don't know how it happened. It should be the same because I sent it to myself and we resent it yesterday. No, the one that I sent is this one. I amended it.
So where do you think the researchers, the committee secretary got hold of this presentation? If it wasn't sent by Albert.
I'm not sure because earlier we had sent the presentation before the previous meeting that was supposed to be in August. And we had sent to Babalwa the updated presentation on the same day. And then yesterday again, I spoke to the committee. I don't know if the committee was Mr. Lobby. Then we sent this same presentation that we sent previously, so I'm not sure where the confusion had lied. My suspicion is that Ms. Ndengo could have printed the one that we sent the first time.
I think really is in no position to cast suspicion over somebody else. None whatsoever. And you're out of place doing it as well. Committee Assistant Nell, Mr. Lobby, confirmed to me this is the presentation that was sent yesterday. Can you give one of your points to Mr. Lobby that he makes copies of these last few pages for the members, please? Members, can you refer to the slides so that we don't waste time? But this is not going to happen again. This is not going to happen again. You can't even get the basics right. Continue, please.
Thanks very much, Chair. Honourable members, in terms of the goods and services, agenda that has been put in place was to regular follow-up on the searching and the finalization of accommodation for satellite offices, particularly Mpumalanga and Western Cape, as they've been in the plan. And this is going to be done in conjunction with public work, like I said, in terms of the procurement of office space. The Directorate has developed a satellite office strategy, which will improve the manner in which IT satellite offices are established, particularly in rural areas, as the members have alluded to in the previous sitting. The implementation of the proposed satellite office strategy will greatly contribute to the improvement of the domestic travel cost pressure that has been experienced in SMC as well. Implement of the system for monitoring and expenditure setting in order to ensure that the budget is aligned to the core business of the IPED. Continuous emphasis on cost-effective measures to ensure the funds are spent on core activities of the Directorate. As far as machinery and equipment is concerned, the Department has developed and updated financial delegations. It's also doing a close monitoring on the procurement plans and monitoring closely the expenditure on machinery and equipment in order to ensure that the plan machinery and equipment for resources, working resources are procured within the reasonable period. In terms of the one of the main areas that the department is spending on, the quality training of IP investigators. There was a training that was conducted, and the department continue to provide a training to our investigators in order to ensure that the quality of investigation is improved. And these are the achievements that have been done in the previous financial year. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Members, I'm going to open it for questions, but I must be honest with you. It sounds like rewind, play, rewind, play, rewind, play, rewind, play. And I'm exactly saying it four times because it's not only this year, the previous year, it's every year the same old story. These satellite offices have been in planning forever. Last year you said exactly the same thing. And then your spending looks exactly as bad as the previous year. 19% versus 16% in the first quarter is not an improvement. Members, over to you for questions, please. Honourable Sabia, Honourable Lords, and Honourable Legetu. In that order, Honourable Ndlovu, Honourable Kelly.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. I would like to know what are the delays in filling that they can post in the administration.
Madam Chair, it's old Benya again. Madam Chair, there's a question that worries me about the underspending of IPs. My question is, what is TRESA saying to this? Do you realize the implications? You see, because you keep on underspending. But also what worries me, the movement of funds. You move funds to this, and then those funds are not even spent. The question is, why did you move them? One would assume that if you move funds to a particular, there is a reason. But no, you move funds to this section, and that section understands, so it does not even use those funds which you move them to. So the question is, why did you move them in the first place? I probably can understand, but I'm not sure. I don't think it's in your hands.
Let me thank the presentation. Using the word delays, it's very common in this presentation. I think my honorable member here represented me well, but the word that you use, delays, it seems it's very, very common. And can you explain all these delays? And use the word delays. Can you minimize this? Thank you.
Honourable Kelly, and then Honourable Ndlovu, and then Honourable Lebatsi. Honourable Ndlovu.
Chairperson, what's the problem in employing people, qualified people to the position? Is there any problem? Because last year we talked about this thing, this year we're talking about it, and the vacant posts are still there. What is the problem? That's the first thing. Secondly, it seems as if we're spending more on compensation, but there are people who are not employed. What's going on? Where is the funds going to? Who is really want to be paid more than supposed to be. If I can get that clarity, Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My last question is on the movement of funds. Is this the right thing to do? My second question is on the amount that you use for furniture. I was sitting and asking myself, what type of furniture are we talking of here? I'm talking of wooden furniture or golden furniture.
Golden.
Amount that is almost 1 million for furniture. It looks like you're using gold and finish. Thanks, Chair.
I also have two questions on demand to ask. You mentioned that one of the reasons for underspending is the fact that there was late delivery. I want the date of the order. I want also, Honourable Bonabazzi, the date of procurement order for that furniture and that deliveries. Honourable Bonabazzi also somehow covered, but I would also be interested in to know what was the purpose of this furniture. But second question, you know, even if we look at the way that you have in your slides talked about the under expenditure per quarter, it's a very creative way of looking at it, quite frankly, because you would say we have 16%, and then we were 8% underspent. Then you go to the next one, you say 19%, so we were 6% underspent. You're now 14% underspent. You're not 4% underspent or 9% underspent. You're forgetting about what you've already been underspending. And you're not being honest in that creative calculation. Ms. Mbeki, I'm putting it to you, you're on the same track again for this year. Exactly the same track. Can we get a response to this round, and then we will take another round of questions?
Thanks, Chairperson. Through you, may I request that some of the questions are handled by some of the responsibility managers?
You direct the answers to the questions. I expect the questions to be answered in the order that they've been asked by whomever, but you direct it.
Thanks, Chair. Let me first address the one on the delays in filling of vacant posts. And I will request the Director HRM. The first one I wrote was the delays in filling of vacant posts. In admin. The posts that we are referring to are mostly the chief director positions, and unfortunately the way in which the process was undertaken is that the accounting officer does not have control of the process, but it's the executive authority that has control over it. The process that we have followed is to say it will be ideal for the executive director post to be filled before any position filled lower than that. Previously, I had indicated to the committee that the matter was referred by the executive authority to other entities to assist him in applying his mind to make sure that we appoint the right people in this position. And that is where the process is. Positions from director downwards, those positions we have been filling them. But what happens is that there is continuous movement, because the more we appoint people who are within the system, internal promotions, the person moves from the position that the person was occupying to the next one, and it creates a vacancy. But there is movement, there is continuous movement, and we've been filling our posts on an average of 3 months. The only ones that we have problems with is the chief director one, and unfortunately that is a process that is out of the control of us as management, and there are issues that are being dealt with. On the question of National Treasurer, what is National Treasurer saying about this, if we keep on spending? We've engaged with them, and we make them understand that the problem that we're faced with is that the funds were misallocated, and we cannot spend funds that are allocated in one economic classification on the other. By the time that we got approval to move the position, we moved most of the money from goods and services last year as a result of the misallocation and misclassification, and we spent most of that money filling vacancies, because we had vacancies that were unfunded. So we needed to fund those vacancies, and we filled, I can say, almost all of them, with the exception of the chief directors. And it is an area of concern from them, in that our planning did not necessarily inform our budgeting. And we have requested that they give us an opportunity to make sure that we align our budget with the plans that we have. As I've indicated, the problem that we had in the past, which is a function of history, unfortunately, is that most of the money was put within goods and services, and yet we need more hands to do the work. So we needed them to move the money. But unfortunately, with adjustments, we can only do it annually to install. But what we are doing now is to check the entire picture so that for the next 3 years the picture looks different.
You haven't answered the member's question. The member is asking, what is Treasury saying about this?
Okay, I will take the director and have to respond to it.
Thanks, Chairman. We have been given Treasury monthly, quarterly, and annual report. And in July, we made a presentation. Obviously, traders are much concerned about the way we spend, and obviously, it also affects our future allocation. Because when we requested the budget for next financial year, they raised a serious concern with regard to the manner in which we have spent. But however, as the acting ED has indicated, there are challenges with regard to the way, the manner in which we spend and the manner in which we cannot spend on certain areas. But in the nutshell, the treasury also raised a serious concern with regard to that. And however, we have also made and undertaken that we will work with them closely in order to ensure that this is avoided in future. The movement of funds, why it was not spent. If you do an analysis, you realize that in the areas where we have moved funds to, the activities took place. Like, for example, we shifted a lot of money from goods and services to compensation of employees, and that's where the appointments were made, except the ones of the senior managers, particularly in the provincial offices. And in the areas where we have cut some of the activities. For example, last time when we were here, we spoke about your DTV, your newspaper kind of things. We have tried also to minimize that so that all those monies can go to the core activities. So I can confirm that the money that has been shifted to a certain areas, those areas have been attended to.
Continue, please.
The activities took place where the money was shifted to.
Okay, we'll do the follow-up.
Chair, may I request that the Director of Finance take the questions on if there are any problems in filling posts and why spend more on collaboration but with the census.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm going to respond to the question of is the problem in filling vacancies. And you are saying, I said, we don't have any problems in filling vacancies. Currently, there was a question on filling of admin positions. We currently we have only 11 vacant posts. And the 11 vacant posts were only created recently because we had promotions and transfers to other departments due to reasons given by employees. And these vacancies only were created in the month of August, and others we received them from 1st of September. And the other question was on? Okay, when we moved funds from goods and services to compensation, as my colleague had indicated, majority of posts were filled. I can give a breakdown of those posts because from coming from 1st of April, we had 45 vacancies. And out of those 45 vacancies, we received new appointments, which were only 12, and we had transfers to IBID, which were only 5, which reduced our vacancies to 28. But out of the 28, when we were trying to reduce the vacancies, we then had 5 promotions, which created more vacancies, and one death, unfortunately, which left us with a vacancy of 34 positions. And out of the compensation of the movement of funds from goods and services, those were the posts that were filled with the compensation of employees that was moved to. I'm saying, the question was that, why have you moved funds from goods and services to take the compensation of employees? An issue of filling of vacancies. And what I'm saying to members is that we did fill those posts with the funds that we moved to compensation of employees. I then gave members a breakdown that from 1st of April, we came from a position where we had 45 vacancies. And we actually filled where we appointed 12 people and transferred 5 people and left us with a vacancy of 28. And therefore, when we had to announce that we're having a vacancy of 28, within those appointments, we had promotions where we had to promote the people within. So they left us with a vacancy, and also we had one death. And if you calculate the 28 vacancies plus the 6 that also were created out of the process of movement of staff, we're left then with 34 vacancies. But what I also confirmed was that on the admin staff, we only have 11 vacancies to date. And those vacancies were only created in the first month of August and September, and currently we have advertised those posts. Because as HRM, we have screened the positions, and we are in the process of shortlisting and interviewing. And the recruitment plan is discussed in our management meetings on a month-to-month basis to check record of progress done on filling of vacancies.
What is your total vacancies now, as we sit here?
34.
Yes. And you say on the 1st of April it was 40, it was 45. And you say most of them are at admin, or not?
No, most of them are not in admin.
Where are they?
Okay, I can give a breakdown of those.
Yes, things. I think you should give us one.
What did you give you that? Where was the postal funded before?
Maybe I remind you, just switch off your microphones, please. I remind you about the presentation that we had last year.
Yes.
Where the acting executive director indicated that there were a number of posts that were not funded, and that they had to move money from goods and services to employment, to compensation. So that they have revealed to us last year already.
Yes.
So it's correct what they're saying. They're now correcting it.
Correcting what?
The fact that they were not funded positions. Positions filled but not funded. They did declare this to the committee last year already. Remember, we're looking at the last financial year's last quarter as well as the first quarter of this financial year. Okay? Can we continue? Can we get the breakdown?
Okay. The breakdown of vacancies, and I would like to also indicate that when I indicated the movement of staff from 1st of April 2013 was when we submitted the presentation, that was end of July, which gave us 34. To date, we are sitting with, as we speak from 9th September, 31 vacant posts, which I would like to confirm. I'm going to give a breakdown. In program 1, we have 11. In program 2, we have 17. And in program 3, we have 3 vacant posts. 17 in program 2.
Core business.
The 9 positions, which also include the 10th one chief director, those are the 10 chief directors. And the 7th are investigators, because they're in program 2. So that is the breakdown of the 17 positions we have.
Continue with the other answers. We will ask follow-up questions now.
Before I hand over to Director Fallas to take care of the other one, I think it's...
Off your microphone, please.
What we have not reported to the portfolio committee is that we had a couple of resignations and a dismissal at an SM level. We lost 2 directors investigations, one in the Eastern Cape, one in the Gauteng province.
I don't
And director executive support. We also lost chief director investigations from ICD, Mr. Chabalala. And then on top of that, there is 9 provincial heads positions. That is what increased the number of investigations. But in the process, there were 2 deaths. We lost 2 investigators, one in Gauteng, one in the Northern Cape. So that is what causes the number within investigations to go higher than it actually is, or it actually was.
Thanks, Chairperson, honorable members. The question on why spending on a commission of employees whilst appointments are not done. The spending as reflected for previous financial year is based on those positions that were filled, and some of the positions were filled as the data HR has indicated. We have lost people from those posts, but the spending was done on the own bodies, the people who have been there in the previous financial year. There was the other questions on whether the movement of funds is correct. Yes, indeed, correct. When you go to Section 43 of PFMA, it allows the accounting officer to do a payment or the shifting funds in order to ensure that there is no underspending or overspending within the budget allocation.
Thank you, honourable members. Just to deal with the next question, there was a question raised on the spending on furniture. Since it's not seen as though we are buying golden furniture. The furniture that was procured must be considered in light of the first year of implementation of the IFED Act and the new posts which were created as a result of that. So the furniture that was procured and also the furniture that was projected to be procured in terms of the budget was mainly the furniture for the new positions that were created. So those positions, you would need to capacitate them with your IT equipment, such as their desktops, their laptops, their printers, etc., to function, because most of these, again, were in our core functions of investigations, as well as your basic office furniture, such as a desk and a chair, to be able to work on. So it's not any luxurious furniture that was planned for in terms of budget expenditure for machinery and equipment. The reasons for underspending, the question raised on the reason that was provided for underspending in machinery and equipment, Honourable Member highlighted that one of the reasons was due to late delivery, but it is mentioned that another reason was also late procurement. So there were delays in procurement, which also resulted in delays experienced in delivery. The detail of the respective dates of all the orders that were involved, they can, though, however, be provided in writing if required.
I take those decisions. If you can't provide them now, you inform us. But you don't decide how are you going to answer questions. Can you provide us the date for the procurement of the furniture now?
The date can't be provided now, Honourable Member. In terms of your...
Sorry, can you send somebody else to phone and get that data?
Now, send
somebody.
Hello?
Are you still answering questions? Send somebody else. You've got 20 people here that you've brought along. Send somebody to go and get that answer for us.
There was a question also on the honesty of the non-cumulative expenditure per quarter. In terms of the presentation, we started off with the cumulative one because that shows a more realistic picture, which shows the expenditure of year to date. But the other analysis was also just provided so that you can track how you are spending against your quarterly targets and not to misrepresent the situation.
It's not in the presentation that the dishonesty comes in. It is in the presentation thereof, when you spoke to it, where you started to say, so we now have spent improvement of, and we have now only underspent by so much. It's not a true reflection. It's not what is in the writing, it is what was said here that was got a problem. Members, we're going to take another round of follow-up questions. I think let's quickly break for tea, because it give them an opportunity also to put the tea out. Let's say it's 10 past 11. We'll be back here 25 past. Yeah. Thank you.
How are you?
Can I please check this? Chairperson, there are various dates and various transactions. There's the one in February for an amount of 239, and there's the one in March for an amount of 527, the one in November 2012 for 25, the one in December 2012 for 34, the one in February 2013 for 189, and the one in March 2013 for an amount of 121, and the one in February 2018 for 83,000, and the last one in March again 2018 for 182.
These are the dates for the late procurement. Now, it's quite interesting. Most of them are February, March, which is fiscal dumping. Because you were telling us that these furniture were bought
on behalf of
for the new structure and the added posts, etc., etc. So what do you want to tell us? That those people only needed furniture in March this year. So somewhere something is not smelling right, is it?
When are those people employed?
How many people are we talking about?
We must be able to give you the numbers because here is an order, just an order.
No, but you should know how many people, because you say you ordered these furniture because of the new structure of IFIT and the new positions. How many positions are we speaking about?
In order to equip those people
exactly.
Who are in office.
Yeah. How many people are we talking about?
Chef, can I request that we call our office to check the number?
Sorry. You had a certain number of staff. Then you say the new structure, the new legislation, left you having more people. How many more people?
With IDID from 1st of April, we created 34 positions. New created post.
This is like from what year?
2012.
So 1st of April 2012 you created these positions. 31 positions.
34. Yeah.
New positions.
Yeah.
But you only awarded furniture for them in March.
No. How many of those 34 were employed? Who needed that furniture?
That's the first question. And the second question is, why only would have furniture for them in March?
It's fiscal dumping. Now we are really bad, but we just wanted to know, for the record.
How many of the 34 were employed?
If they don't know, can they find out?
Continue, how many?
Okay. Out of the 34 positions, we did 22 appointments. And transferred 29 to IPID during this financial year. 22 appointments out of the 34.
Jefferson, am I confused? 22 appointments to which section? If you say then transfer to IP, what do you mean by that?
Okay. If I may explain that when we talk about the transfers is when people apply from other departments and apply for positions in IPID. So therefore you'll find that we appoint, which becomes newly appointed from the designations, people coming from private sectors, and then when we transfer it from one government department to the other, which is IPID. So therefore the 22 appointed and those who also transferred were placed in different offices or provinces in IPID.
This question still remains, in what section within IPID?
Chairperson, the reason why we humbly requested that we provide you with the details in terms of those specific numbers. The furniture, the bulk was made for the new, but we also bought for the old officials due to the redundant items that they were using. And in addition to this, we also bought for both rooms. So this is why I was requesting that maybe we give you an accurate and a detailed information with regard to the furniture.
Honorable Ndlovu.
You see, Chairperson, now, out of this question that we have arisen from you and me, we have got five different answers. I don't know which one you are going to take, but let us take the last one that is going to provide us with the detail. My problem is the Chairperson. It's not in the presentation where you said that we have brought and even your HR personnel ahead does not say that you have got furniture for the old and so on and so forth. You talk about new people, officers for a person who acquire equipment to wear and so on and so forth. That's what you say. And now I don't understand now, where are we really? What should we believe there at the end of the day? Is it true that should we presume that it's a physical dumping? Should we presume that? If that is the case, let us say so, so that we proceed with the other questions. Because now we are stuck with this question because we wanted to know why you spend the money in February, March. That's a basic line that we are asking, why are you spending the money February, March, towards the end of the financial year?
Honourable Ndlovu was quite correct. The problem is that IPIT, and I'm very disappointed, because IPIT should know this this committee by now. We listen to every single word that you say. Even when you were explaining what was bought, and when we asked the question around the furniture, you then included laptops and computers, etc. But in your presentation, you differentiated between the two. You said 200,000 for computers, etc. 900,000 for furniture. The dishonesty must stop. It seems like we're now in a position that we are with SAS all the time, where we've got to remind you, lying to Parliament is a criminal offence. Can we get clarity on this issue, please? Because for us, it's looking like fiscal dumping. And we will raise that with Treasury.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The reality of what is happening is it's not necessarily an issue of fiscal dumping, but rather the late implementation of procurement plans, which is why one of the tools that we've introduced in our action plan is to actually pick and closely monitor that managers spend in accordance with their plans. That's the true reality of the situation.
No, Jefferson, Ms. Twelef, that question, that answer of yours raises a lot of questions. You cannot say, because of the planning, a person who is employed today can't plan for his or her office today. That is a problem I'm having with your answer. Therefore, if there is no plan, then agree what the person is saying. That is fiscal dumping then, so that we proceed with this. Because we cannot, I cannot understand that you can employ a person to an empty room. You can't do that. Unless you are telling us that you have employed a person, or you have employed all these 22 and transfer these other seats or whatever to the empty rooms, and then thereafter you ask them, what do you want? And then you go with your notebook, taking their names, what do you want, and so on and so forth. What do you want? Is this good for you? Is this not good for you? That's what we are saying. It can't be that way. You are a department. It can't be that way, really.
So the only thing that will happen, and that's why, members, you will not find us standing up in Parliament and saying I need more funds. You will not get it. You might get some of the other parties telling you that I need more funds. It's clear that you don't need more funds. You can't even spend what you have. And when you spend it, you spend on the wrong things. Mr. Mbeki, by end tomorrow, we want a clear in writing. The number of new posts as a result of the IPIT Act, the number of new posts. The number of those posts that were filled in the previous financial year. want the presentation that was just given to us in terms of the procurement. The dates it was procured, what was procured, for what, not only what was procured, for the purpose of the procurement, and the amounts. I mean, you don't even have two satellite offices. I don't understand where this furniture goes to. Because if people leave, there's furniture there already. If people get promoted, they take the furniture under their arm and they walk with it. Just like it in iPad. Let's continue. Next round of questions, members. Ms. Mulabashi.
Chair, let me, I'd like to ask Mrs. Mbeki a very direct question. Why is your delegation so big? My second one is, your investigators don't have ID card yet. How do they identify themselves? Question.
ID cards. I wonder if they have ID cards. Add that to the question. Any other questions? Ms. Tilly and then Honourable George. Honourable Tilly.
Two questions. It's a point of understanding. It was said here that there were vacancies which had been vacant in April last year. What could be the reason for the position to be vacant for so long?
Honourable George?
There's something which he said, money is not properly allocated. It's in one of your slides. Now, could you explain what does that mean? You also talk about cost-cutting measures to avoid spending on non-core business. What does that mean? See, because you see, talking a government, surely money is allocated on the basis of what it was requested for. What is this cost cutting? Because you give it as a reason for your underspending. Say introducing cost cutting measures to avoid spending on non core activities. What does that mean?
Thank you, Chairperson. What is the implication of the people who are acting in the provinces? What is the implication of the people who are really acting, who are not full-time, who are just actors in the provinces? What does that mean? What is the implication of the IP? What results are they getting out of that?
I also have a follow-up question. One of the reasons that you gave for underspending is exactly the issue that the Honourable Law raised now. It's because people are acting, they are not appointed. But when you act, you get an acting allowance. What is the financial difference between the acting allowance and a permanent post? Financial. How many rands are we speaking about? Because I want to find out whether, again, this is a creative dealing with underspending. Because if, with all due respect, if the difference is minimal for those positions, then the impact can't be that big in terms of the finances either. The second thing is, do you adhere to what is considered to be at the least, but is also expected of many departments as a rule, that when you get appointed, that you can't be transferred from that position to another position within the first year of your employment? Members, any other questions coming up? Ms. Mulabashi, you can ask another one. Let's get the answers first, then we'll take another one.
Thank you, Chairperson. The
answer to Mayor Mulebati's question is based on the fact that we needed to reshuffle the acting arrangements due to the fact that an audit query was raised with regard to us having people who are acting in positions for more than 12 months, which is not in line with the Public Service Act. So what that did was that you would find that somebody was acting in a position. I'll give an example with investigations. I have three people from investigations currently present here. The one was acting up to the end of August. Then in between that, somebody else was acting for a week or two, and yet somebody else was appointed to act. So to just to allow a situation where we are able to respond to all the issues, because some information might be sitting in these small pockets, we then said, let's bring three people within that. Corporate Services is two people, it's Mr. Damini and the Director HRM. Mr. Damini is wearing two caps. First, that one of communications in case questions with regard to communications are raised, and that of Acting Chief Director Corporate Services. HRM to deal mostly, specifically with human resource management issues. So the biggest problem is created by the fact that we have different people acting at different intervals. And sometimes information is sitting in different pockets. Ideally, if all the positions were filled, it would have been the program managers that come to present to the portfolio committee together with the chief financial officer. The question of ID cards, my understanding is that all our investigators have identity documents, unless Mr. Sissoko has a different response to that.
Good morning, Chairperson, all of our members. Thank you for the opportunity. The ID investigators do have ID cards that are in-house produced, but those ID cards are not of a high security feature. Because of the nature of our work, we need to have ID cards that are of high security nature that cannot be duplicated. For instance, someone imposing as an IP ID investigator. So we have then engaged with the Department of State Security Agency for the procurement of secured ID cards. And this process is still ongoing because there are only limited companies that can produce those. So the department is engaging with the state security for the procurement of those ID cards. Thank you.
On the question of why some positions have been vacant from last year, that talks in the main to the nine provincial heads positions and the chief director investigation position. Those are the ones that I have indicated that the executive authority is still abiding his mind and recruiting other agencies to assist him in making sure that we get the right people for the position. Because we want to avoid a situation where we have people that do not necessarily have the skills, the experience and the training to do the work. A question has been raised on issues that lead to delays, say for example in procurement of these things. What we discovered last year and it was part of what we presented to the committee was that people were not fully capacitated to do basic public service administration. They did not have delegation to procure whatever they needed to procure, the problem was that everything else was centralized. And in that way the institution indirectly incapacitated people from doing so. So we just want to make sure that we have people who fully understand government as a whole and not only investigations. And that's what is causing the delay. And those are the posts that have been vacant from last year. It's a total of 10 chief directors. The others became vacant in the process. As and when we take a disciplinary hearing of these people, some leave, some get dismissed, but the majority of the people resign in the process between last year, around September and the end of the financial year. The question of money is not properly allocated, what it means. What it means is that that's where we are talking about misalignment and misclassification. The misalignment was as a result of the fact that budgeting was done separately somewhere in head office by a few group of individuals. As a result thereof, that budget did not talk to what we actually need as an organization. It did not talk directly to the plans, the needs, the spending pressures of the organization. Then you found money being allocated in another occupational, in another
classification instead of it being in another classification. So that is what led to misalignment. The misclassification is now when you drill down into the specifics, you find people getting confused with budgeting for equipment less than 5,000 rand. Putting that money, if you think of a laptop, most people automatically think if you want to buy a laptop or a computer, if it's an equipment less than 5,000 rand, whereas in actual fact that's not the case. So that is where the problem was. But that talks to the capacity then within the office of the chief financial officer. Members will remember that the director of finance and deputy director financial management were only appointed as a result of the implementation of the IPS Act. And yet the actual budgeting process happened before the people joined in. So there was no capacity there in that office, which is the reason why there was these misclassifications and miscalculations. On the question of cross-cutting measures, I've indicated that as a function of history, what we discovered is that during ICD, it would appear that they needed more money within goods and services. With IT, given the fact that our mandate has been expanded and extended, we realize that we need more help to do the work instead of needing more money within goods and services. And that is what caused the problem, because then we needed to make sure that we cut spending on goods and services, especially on S&D and accommodation. What we then introduced today was today, if people have to travel, let's say a provincial head from Western Cape to travel to head office, that person has to provide a compelling case that I'm going to head office to do at least three other important things, and not just fly to head office, come back, and then fly back the following day to do something else. And that is the reason why we see the impact of that in how we are spending. That was based on the principal decision that we took today. We want to make sure that going forward, we spend money where it matters most, instead of continuing with the ICT environment where we just spend money even though we are not spending where we are supposed to be spending it. Implication of people acting in provinces or the credit director, HRM, to deal with it. And the financial difference between eating allowance and HR post, I'm sure the director of finance will be able to handle that one. And the question that was asked by the chairperson on whether do we adhere to not transferring people to other positions within the financial year.
No, within the first year of employment.
The first year. Maybe first to answer that, the director of finance will add. What we need to separate is a transfer where a person has applied for a position outside of IT but within the public services. The person has been appointed by another government department, and the person has been with us for say 3 months or 6 months. And then the person, what we do, we transfer the person from IT to that other government department, even though in that other government department it is a promotion, but it's a transfer within public services. We internally, what we have done last year, we introduced a system where we say, if a person has applied for a post within IT, let's say a person has applied for a post from, the person was based in Kibale and the person got a post in Western Cape, that person has to sit within that position for 2 years before the person can then move around within the system. So that is the only thing that we have control over. But movement of people outside of IT to other government departments, we do not have control over that process.
Thank you, Mambik. The implications of employees acting in provinces is that they do receive an acting allowance which is paid from the vacant post of chief director level. It also implications is about the issue of stability, because you have people acting and which is not permanent because the positions are not filled, but currently they're being paid an acting allowance because they are appointed officially in those posts and receive an allowance for acting in those posts and actually acting those responsibilities attached to the post.
Well, my question was, what is the difference financially between the acting allowance and the position?
Thanks, Chairperson, honorable members. Most of the people who are acting in these positions are at various levels. You will have a director and some are deputy directors. Therefore, if you have a director who acts as a chief director provincial at the provincial office, you will then have the only difference as an acting. But the amount of that position will be regarded as savings. Like, for example, you'll have a director who's acting as a chief director. The only payment that will be affected is that portion of acting, the difference level between level 14 and level 15, level 13 and level 14. However, that director position, the amount itself is going to be regarded as a savings because you pay the difference. You're not paying the whole amount of level 14. So that's the difference. If you have a level 11, for example, a deputy director who acts as a chief director level 14, you are only going to pay a difference between what the deputy director is getting as well as what the level 14 chief director is getting.
It's
too
little.
Yeah,
no. The acting head for Western has been in that position before. He was the director of Western Cape.
Now there's been, the position has been upgraded, am I correct?
Yes.
So it's no longer a director, it's not chief director's position, correct? So what you're saying to us is that what you are paying them extra is basically the difference between a director and a chief director. But you're still saving.
In terms of the position.
In terms of the position.
Yes.
So,
they're still paying for what?
They're paying him his original salary as a director. But he gets an allowance to the same of a chief director. In the meantime, the position of the chief director is open. So his salary, let's say as a director he was earning 1,000 rand. As a chief director, he'll be earning 1,500 rand. The only extra money they're paying him is the 500. So he's earning 1,500. But in the meantime, that position of the 1,500 is also open.
So they use it as the same.
Yeah. But I mean, members, it's clear that we will have to, in our recommendations, ask that these positions be filled as a matter of urgency.
With the history of IPED, because it looks like we inherited this thing, and it looks like everybody likes, because IPED, since I have known them, one thing they like is to have vacant posts that are not filled. And I think the time for what you are saying is correct, that IPED must be told and given whatever reasonable time to fill all the posts, so that when they come back here, they can't tell us, no, this post is not filled, that post is not filled.
I mean, there's a point that you are missing is that many of these posts the minister must fill.
Yes.
That's the point you are missing. The other vacancies is IPED's problems, but the chief director's positions and the executive director position is the minister that must fill them. So our recommendation must speak to the minister.
Yes. Yes.
What about officers? Can we get an explanation? Because last year you came here this time of the year and it was the same two officers, George and Mpumalanga.
Yeah.
Same two officers. Now we're a year later and we're here again, George and Mpumalanga. I always blame public works. Continue. What is happening there?
Chairperson, it is correct that we did budget for the two satellite offices last year in anticipation of us having to spend to get these satellite offices. What then happened due to delays within public works, we then engaged with the provincial government of Mpumalanga. We now have a satellite office in Kwanhlanga, but fortunately enough for us, we were not expected to pay. So we only pay a minimal fee that talks to connectivity. So that then became a savings. And we did not necessarily do that with public works. We did it on our own initiative to try and save costs. And we then thought that we will take that principle to other provinces where we still don't have satellite offices. Because if we expect public works to get an office for us, they also look at, they do a cost-benefit analysis. They check whether it is cost-effective for them to get an office for IPED when the office is going to be occupied by 3 or 5 people. So that's the engagement that we do. George, my understanding is that there is also engagement with the provincial government of the Western Cape. I'm not so sure the Ethel department, Mr. Lehulu, will indicate to that. But we are trying to emulate the same principle that we have taken or we have learned from the Mpumalanga arrangement. And maybe through you, Chair, if I request Mr. Lehulu to just take us through as to how far in that process. Mpumalanga, we already have people there. We appointed people for that satellite office, and that office is currently being manned by our investigators, and investigation there is being attended to.
Yes, Chairperson, good morning, honorable members. With respect to the Joint Satellite Office, Chairperson, is that it's correct, so the matter is in the hands of the public works. However,
We have, on our own initiative, engaged with the local government, the Western local government, and we had engagement in respect of office space as Chamberlain in Lodge. What we are waiting for now is that we had a meeting, number of meetings with them, and they are clear that in principle there's space available, and we're just waiting for a memorandum of understanding and agreement how we're going to operate in that office space. It's office space where we could occupy the investigators and one office, and from there we have to agree on that memo. Then we will occupy that particular office in those.
First issue. Was your engagement with local government or with the provincial government? Because you said local government. Sorry, I'm not done yet. Second issue is, Mr. Mbeki, is this going to be your approach going forward with all satellite offices? Or are you still going to get satellite offices through DPW? The reason that we're asking that, because it influences our recommendation. Because we can now tell Treasury to take away this money for the satellite offices, if that's going to be your way forward. Can we get the answers?
Yes, Chairperson, the office that the several offices subject to us are getting the office from the Public Works, but we're engaging with the provincial government, Chairperson.
Why did you say local government?
It's a slip of a tongue, I'm sorry, Chairperson.
Chairperson, we still want to get our own offices. This is a stopgap measure. In the interim, once DPW is still going about procuring, whether through leasing of accommodation for us. So we still need the money for the offices, and we still need those offices. But we then thought that it won't harm us to negotiate with other government partners to temporarily accommodate us where possible, to enable us to make sure that the footprint of IP is expanded. We have not withdrawn our request to DPW, and my understanding is that where they had already issued procurement instructions, we go ahead with that. But we needed to find a way in which we deal with the current pressing measure with regards to those departments that we can negotiate with. And I did would like to have more, as we have indicated in the satellite office strategy. As in terms of that strategy, we have not even allocated a lot of offices in the first few years because we are not so sure as to how long the process is within DPW take and whether we'll have all the funds for that. But basically, as a matter of principle, we still need the money and we still would like to have our own offices.
We missed follow-up questions. Further questions? What? Where are we standing with the issue of the head office, which this management sat in the meeting saying that there was nothing wrong with the renting of that office, and then in the end the committee was proven correct. Where do we stand? When is the issue going to be resolved?
Chairperson, as far as we are concerned, the notice that is sent to DPW still stands. DPW had issued a procurement instruction for us. And we hope that the notice period was 18 months. We are now almost 15 months into that process. And we hope that we'll still be able to get accommodation. Because my understanding is that they were looking at various options on how to accommodate us. And as we've indicated, even in terms of expenditure, as much as the budget as it was made, it talks to the contractual arrangement that DPW entered into with the landlord, but the actual expenditure does not talk to that. We are still paying the structural rates. But the most unfortunate thing is that it is not the kind of process that we can drive ourselves without being seen to interfering on their mandate. We still have to rely on them and the support that they have to provide to us.
I'm just worried that I'm not hearing that this department is following up on issues. It's like, we wait. DPW will mess us around, we wait. We don't engage, we don't put pressure on them. They haven't given us a satellite office for the last 2 years. That's fine, let's do something else.
When was the last meeting then?
Yeah.
on this issue? When was the last meeting?
The last meeting was at the beginning of the year. We have written several times to the then acting DG and the current DG. And unfortunately, they're not allowing us the space and time to engage with them on this matter. We can call as much as we like and write to them as much as we like until they make themselves available for us. It's impossible for us to meet with them. We've been trying. And the strange thing is that we don't get the same response with National Treasure. National Treasure will engage with them quite frequently, but DPW, for some reason, is a problem. The first time I met the current DG, he had indicated to me that he has a backlog of departments that want a meeting with him. And there are other departments that have requested accommodation dating back to 2009. They still do not have accommodation. So that, in essence, indirectly tells us that we are not the only stakeholder, and they have other stakeholders that they also need to focus on. And we just have no control over the process. We've been writing to them. We wrote to them in July, requesting a meeting, but we still can't get that meeting. It was better with the former acting DG. And I'm not necessarily saying this DG is not available, but I do not know what are the pressures that he is facing.
Is there any outstanding questions I want to wrap up?
I think we must wrap up.
I think it's clear that we are not satisfied. And it is clear from your first quarter financial statements that the measures that you put in place is not working, because already you are again underspending. We most probably will call you back for your second quarter. I think it's necessary that we do, because it's clear that we have a problem here. Secondly, members, I suggest that we recommend that this committee writes to the minister in terms of the appointment of the vacant positions at the level of chief directors.
Yes. Great.
As well as the appointment of the executive director.
Great.
Third issue is, we expect to have the breakdown of the late procurements that you are now blaming for some of this underspending. We want to know exactly what amount, what month, for what purpose. But then, thirdly, the HR manager, we want a breakdown, month for month, from April 1st last year. Let's start March 2012. Your vacancies at March 2012. The number, the positions, and those filled within that. Then we go to April, and we want it up to September this year, so that we can see what is happening around that. And where you can provide us also the reason for the vacancy. So if it is a question of somebody that's deceased, that's fine. If it's somebody that's transferred to another government department, let's know that as well as the resignations. I think the fourth thing, members, that we should recommend as a committee is that the Treasury intervenes with and get involved with this, with ITED, in terms of financial management.
To assist them.
Yes. Because it's clear we're running exactly the same. Your second quarter has been finished. Can you give us an idea how much that you've spent in the second quarter? Just percentage.
It's not the second quarter per se, it's up to the end of August, Chairperson. The budget is 42%, but we have spent 33%. We are 11% underspending.
Okay. It's grown from the first to the second quarter. So we are also then recommending the Treasury gets involved in assisting this department to spend its money. Ms. Mbeki, we once again, I think we're still going to have interactions around your annual report. But the fact of the matter is, I think this committee is disappointed in this management.
And the question is, if you keep on doing things the same way, do you expect different results? You're not going to get different results if you keep on doing things the same way. Maybe it's time to change some faces around this management as well. And that's where the appointment of the senior people becomes important. Because I think too many of you have become too comfortable sitting in your offices, not worrying what the impact of you not doing your work is to the rest of the directorate. Members, is that summarizing our meeting correctly?
Yes.
You've got everything that I've raised, okay? And you make sure that the letters to the minister be finalized today so that we can still sign them and get them out today, please. With that, I want to give IPAP the opportunity to leave us. Thank you very much for coming. It hasn't been a pleasant meeting. And you have only yourself to blame for that, so you are excused. Thank you very much. Members, don't leave because we still got to quickly adopt our minutes, please. Members, can we quickly look at the report, first of all, at the report? The Kanisa police station, there were only a few members that went there. The subcommittee, can I put page one? I'm depending on those members who were there. Page one. Page two. Page three. Page page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Can I get a mover? Ms. Labotsi, seconder? No copy.
Okay.
Seconder? Mr. Biel. Adopted, thanks. Then can we go to the minutes of the 23rd of April? Members, I'm doing this because I don't want us to have a meeting again. We've got to sit from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening to adopt minutes. 23rd of April, page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Can I get a mover? Mr. Lawless moves, a seconder. Mr. George, adopted, thank you. Can we go to the minutes of the 24th of April? Page 1. Page 2. Anything on page 3? Page 4. Can I get a mover? Mr. Bia moved, the seconder. Mr. Lobo seconding. Thank you. Members, the meeting of the 25th of April. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. A mover. Honourable Mr. Bias moving. A seconder. Mr. George seconding. Thank you. Meeting of the 14th of May. Mr. Lobby, quality control. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, can I get a mover? Ms. Molibachi is moving, a seconder, Mr. George. Thank you. 21st of May. That's what we just did. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Anything on page 5? Can I get a mover? Mr. George is moving and Ms. Leo seconding. Have you run to this before?
don't worry if it's Leo and George.
Meeting of the 4th of June. Page one. Mr. Smolobashi.
Yeah. On the attendance, Mr. Preston, on all them to me, on the same line.
Anything else on page one? Page two. Page three. Page four. Mr. Loving, page four. I sent out an email yesterday to the committee section to say that they must make sure that there's quality control of the photocopies. I will take it up with their managers.
No, it's legal.
So quickly, you say. Can I see which members don't have page four? Page 4, anything on page 4? Can I get a mover? Ms. Ndlovu moving, Ms. BL seconding, thank you. Tuesday 11th of June, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, can I get a mover? Mr. George is moving, seconded, Ms. Bias,
No.
Can we go to the spell for you, please? Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Can I get a mover? Ms. Ndlovu is moving, a seconder?
Yes.
Ms. Diaz seconding, thank you. 20th of June. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Can I get a mover? Ms. Molabachi moving, Mr. Joel seconding.
Yeah.
Members, next week we will also adopt the minutes from 23rd of July up to the last meeting that we've had. Is that all of it? I knew that one. The 23rd of July's minutes. So if it will be distributed to you so that you can please go through it so that we don't... The way we're doing it now, we deal with it far quicker than if we haven't gone through it. So we can prepare for that. Members, just one other thing. I have been informed that the crime statistics might actually be released next Thursday, which impacts on our meeting with the National Commissioner. Because first of all, I do think members for themselves waiting for the invitation would like to be at the release of crime statistics. And secondly, there's no use for us having a meeting on the restructuring if the commissioner is not present when she's at the crime statistics. So we have one of two choices. The one is that, but I don't think it's practical. If members would allow, I would rather reschedule our program and that we meet the National Commissioner then on that next Tuesday. So that we, well, the other thing that we can do, members, is that we can actually have the Commissioner coming on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, for the restructuring, the 17th.
Yes, if you write to, if you tell him to tell us today.
Committee secretary. Well, they've in any case been told about the 19th already. So they according to the letter that I've seen, they are prepared. So that we may have the meeting with the national commissioner on the 17th regarding the restructuring, and that we then continue after that with the financial last quarter and first quarter of SAS. Because as we can see, it's not that long a meeting in any case, and we have the full day, because it's committee week. Then, members, I want to urge that I don't want to hear that members are not going to be here on the Wednesday for the oversight visit. Please, because it's an oversight visit in the Western Cape. I'm not going to say where we're going now. The committee secretary doesn't even know at this stage, but it is to a station that is really giving us some huge problems. And we need to go to that station. And then we can, depending on the invitation that we're supposed to be getting, we can then travel on the Thursday morning for the release of the crime statistics, because it seems like it's in Pretoria. Is that okay with me? Okay. Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.